Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Snow starts to go, it gets a little warmer and the sap begins to flow. Me and my honey put our buckets on our backs, take a little ramble to the old sugar shack. Sugar shack, where I wanna be, slurping up the syrup with my little honeybee. Sap stops running and we'll have to go back, but I'd rather stay forever in our old sugar shack.
This coming Saturday, March 7th, the Ashokan Center in Olive Bridge, New York, will host their family-friendly Maple Fest. The sugaring tradition goes back to the original native populations of New York, who eventually taught it to European settlers. Maple sugaring season in the Northeast typically begins in mid-February and lasts through early April. Tim New has been operating the maple sugaring program at the Ashokan Center in Olive Bridge for 35 years as part of their environmental education program, and he joins us this morning to tell us all about his work and all about the festival and much, much more. And we welcome Tim New. Thank you very much.
Great to be here, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. Your official title is Sap Man?
Oh, well, I guess you could call it that.
Is that what's on the business card?
Well, when I first started, one of the students came out there and he said, "You must be the Sap Man." And I said, "Well, I guess I am." And it sort of stuck like jack wax ever since then.
So this is, winter aside, this is the season.
It is the season. It's later than usual that typically we're tapped up by about Valentine's Day,
right,
and getting our first syrup by the end of February. But as you know, it's been a long, cold winter. And we're just getting going now. We're going to be tapping our trees tomorrow, actually. And the weather forecast is looking great for this week, so we should have some sap by the weekend.
And that is a fairly quick process from what I have gathered over the years, is you tap the tree, and then the sap starts to flow pretty quickly.
Well, it's all based on weather conditions.
Right.
That you need days in the 40s and nights in the 20s.
Which is what we have forecast this week.
That's correct.
Whether it happens or not is another thing.
Yes. And once it starts flowing, it takes a few days for the trees to thaw out on this kind of winter. So I'm confident that by the weekend we'll have sap to boil.
What I find amazing to me, and you can help me out on this, because I go by several sugaring operations on my way to work every morning, and I see, and as you said, everybody's just getting started, but in past years you see those big drums out there with all the tubing and everything going around, and I think to myself, do they fill those things? Like, do they actually fill those things?
Oh, you bet.
You do.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, because I don't know how many trees it takes to fill one of those things, but it's pretty amazing, because we're, how many gallons is that?
Well, we have two 200-gallon storage tanks in our sap house. And we have a pipeline system with about 160 taps connected to them. And on a good day, that one of those tanks will fill up in a day. So we'll get 200 gallons from 160 taps.
And how many gallons of syrup can you make out of 250 gallons of sap?
Well, it's the ratio is typically about 40 to 1. Early in the season, the sap's a little sweeter, and it takes about 30 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup. Toward the end, it's about 50 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So out of a 200-gallon tank, we'll get at the most 4 gallons of syrup. So it fills up quick, but it takes a long time to boil it.
One of the coolest things I've ever been to was a syrup tasting. And you look at the different grades of syrup, and you can talk a little bit about this grading process, because it's much like there's great differences in the color, and these grades come in just about anything you can imagine, from the lightest, as you said, early in the season, from lightest to lightest to darkest, and it completely changes the flavor.
Correct. The first sap of the season typically produces the very lightest syrup. And it's got a very delicate flavor. Toward the end of the season, the sap has to be cooked much longer, and the sugar becomes more caramelized, and all the minerals and things become more concentrated. So you get a much darker syrup. And at the very end of the season, we get a dark syrup. I call it Mountain Man syrup. And it's robust, comparable to like a buckwheat honey.
And it's not necessarily thicker, but it is a lot darker.
Correct. It's all the same consistency, exactly 66% sugar. It's just more caramelized from being cooked longer.
And it's great because then if you go to one of these tastings, you just end up doing a lot of syrup shots.
Right. And we'll be doing that at the Ashokan Maple Festival.
As you should be.
And we also do another taste test. We compare real maple syrup to the store-bought artificial syrup. And we call it our maple syrup challenge.
Yes. Does that fool anybody?
It does. It does. Most of the guests that we have at the Sugar Shack are fifth and sixth graders that are part of the Ashokan Center Environmental Education Program. And it depends. The upstate kids, they usually get it right because they're used to real maple syrup.
Right.
But we trick a few of them. And we always go through the ingredients and make it a little bit of a health lesson as well. It always they're always love to hear that there's sodium hexametaphosphate in the artificial syrup.
What is that?
Well, I did a Google search on that, and it came up as an industrial lubricant. So it must be what makes the artificial syrup nice and slippery to get the pancakes to slide down.
Oh,
good.
So actually come down and to come out of the bottle.
Right.
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 I'm assuming that in most good fresh maple syrups, you don't need a lubricant.
No. The Ashokan syrup and any pure maple syrup is made out of 100% tree sap and nothing else added.
So you have the – we kind of skipped along here, and I just want to go back for a second because you have the sap that goes into the collection units. And how many gallons? About 150 or 250?
About 200 in the collection unit.
Okay. And then that's boiled?
Right. From the holding tanks, it flows into the evaporator through a float valve.
Right.
And the evaporators nowadays are designed for maximum efficiency. They actually have like a corrugated bottom to the pan. And I can boil off about 20 gallons of water an hour. So when we're under production, I can get the steam coming off of there that makes the Sugar Shack almost look like a steam tea kettle.
Yeah, and it's really cool because at this point it does start to smell good too.
Oh yeah, that's one of the best parts of being at the Sugar Shack is the aroma.
And then as the syrup starts to form and everything gets boiled off, how long from that point to when it is servable?
Well, when it's finished, when it's just the right consistency, 66% sugar, we draw it off, it gets filtered, and then it gets bottled while it's still hot. And anytime after that, you can be eating it.
Yeah.
We do a special treat out there also. We make a maple treat called Jack Wax, where you keep boiling the maple syrup until almost every last bit of water is gone. And the best way to serve it is to pour it on the snow and let it harden into long strips that become the most delicious maple taffy that you'll ever taste.
That's really good.
It's delicious.
Maple sugar, when you have maple sugar candy, how is that produced?
That's a little tricky. There's a process called, I learned this from a SUNY New Paltz professor, called nucleation, that you have to stir the molten sugar, and that starts a crystallization process, and then you pour it in little molds, and it hardens in just a few minutes. And we'll be making that out at the Sugar Shack also for Maple Fest.
And when you say harden, I mean, it certainly becomes, it becomes, edible, but not like break your teeth off.
Right.
Harden. It's very soft. It's like good packed brown sugar.
Right. It's really an art to make it, that you have to get the temperature just right. And I just love the digital thermometer I have nowadays, that you get it to 238 degrees. And when you make the Jack Wax, it's chewy and gooey, but when you stir it and get the crystallization process going, it turns into those beautiful sugar leaves that we're all so fond of.
Now, I have a couple of friends who do this, and they'll invite you up, and you know, they always say that they just want you to see what's going on, but they really want you to help. you know, it's free labor, and that's fine. And you go up, but the process that's always kind of surprised me, and I think is fascinating, is that filtering process you talked about of what actually you're filtering out,
mm-hmm.
which can be fascinating.
Yeah, there's a residue they call sugar sand that if you don't get that out, it collects in the bottom of your bottles and kind of forms a sludgy layer that
yeah.
doesn't look good for marketing purposes. But if you filter it properly and it's cooked properly, the syrup should be crystal clear and will stay good for a long time.
So I'm going back probably 25 years here, but you used to have the old sap buckets that you tapped into the trees, literally tapped into the trees, and it would go into the reservoir unit. What were those made? They were like tin, oil, aluminum, whatever.
Yeah, they started out with. We do several examples of the history of maple sugaring. We do one Native American style with a trough, a wooden trough.
Yep.
Then we do one colonial style with a sumac spile and a wooden bucket. Then the buckets we use are aluminum, which are real nice, that they're lightweight and don't rust. And then we show them our modern pipeline system.
Now, this modern pipeline system, am I right about 20 years, 15, 20 years?
It's been around actually longer than that.
Okay.
When I started there 35 years ago...
It was still around?
It was around then. And
okay.
They've improved on the plastics and new spiles, technology nowadays.
A spile being...
Spile is the part that you put into the hole.
The tree.
Right. And that gets the sap from the tree into the bucket or the tubing. So it's not just leaking down the side of the tree on the bark.
And hopefully you won't take offense to this, but as you're driving down the road and you see all the trees and they're all tapped up and they have all this wire going around, you just can't think that there is any rhyme or reason to it. You know, as you're traveling down the road at 40 miles an hour, you just don't, it doesn't look like this could be doing anything productive. And then it's fascinating when you actually stop the car and go out to look and to see how everything just starts rolling through.
Oh, it's really fascinating that our particular system is our trees are fortunately on a hillside,
right.
So all of our
gravity?
Sap moves by gravity, but a lot of the modern sap houses now use vacuum pumps that they can transport the sap uphill or actually there are some places that take it miles through the woods to their central collection points or the sugar shack.
Is there, and this is just an offhanded observation, but I'm assuming, considering I see so many trees tapped, that there's like some decent money in it.
Well, you know, if you're big enough to afford the equipment, the new equipment that's on the market,
yeah.
They have something called reverse osmosis machines that will take out 80% of the water before you even start boiling it. So you can imagine how much time and energy you save with a machine like that. And then you can start making some money. But most of us do it for the fun of it and the pleasure of it. And at Ashokan, we do it primarily for the educational part of it. And the syrup is just kind of a nice byproduct.
And I don't want any turf wars here, but, you know, people talk about Vermont maple syrup and so forth. But it's pretty much, we have pretty much the same stuff here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Our trees are really good, and it's relatively the same climate, and you get a very high quality product.
Correct. And New York is right on the tail of Vermont in production now. And I think we might be passing them up one of these days.
This sounds like just a blast. This is all going to happen on Saturday, March 7th at the Ashokan Center.
March
2nd? That's
mm-hmm.
today, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct.
All right. It's 7th. March 7th. That's okay. I just want to make sure that you weren't supposed to be out tapping trees right now.
Thank you.
Saturday, March 7th at the Ashokan Center in Olive Bridge. It's the Family Maple Fest, and it's going to be happening. You can find out more information by going to ashokancenter.org. There's all kinds of information on the website, and there's going to be music and treats and all the cool stuff you talked about. So we can try the taffy. We can try the sugar candy.
Mm-hmm. There's other things going on as well. There's guided hikes to Cathedral Gorge, which is really phenomenal this time of year. The blacksmith shop will be fired up. So it's a whole day's worth of activities.
The Ashokan Center Maple Fest will take place Saturday, March 7th from 11 to 4. For information, you can visit ashokancenter.org. AshokanCenter.org. Tim New, thank you very much for joining us this morning. A great pleasure.
Great to be here, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We post all of our segments online at WAMC.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.